Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two dead children buried in the defendant Chad Daybell's backyard in September of 2019. The next month, his wife is found dead in their marital bed. 17 days after the death of his wife, Tammy Daybell, this defendant is photographed laughing and dancing on a beach in Hawaii at his wedding to Lori Vallow, a woman who was his mistress and the mother of the children buried in the graves on his property. Three dead bodies.
Let's talk about the opening statements today, because what a morning, guys. Rob Wood, I thought, did an excellent job, in my opinion. I thought he laid it out well. He had a timeline. He had up on the screen all the major important events to know, explaining that. I loved it. I loved it when Rob Wood was saying that Chad didn't want this ordinary life. He pretty much was bored with his life, and Lori was a fantasy. And I was like, oh, maybe Rob Wood listens to Hidden True Crime. I was like, yes, that he wanted to be significant, and he wasn't significant.
This defendant believed he had a right beyond the ordinary. When he had a chance at what he considered his rightful destiny, he made sure that no person or no law would stand in his way. His desire for sex, money, and power led him to pursue those ambitions. And this pursuit led to the deaths of his wife and Lori's two innocent children. Chad Daybell is an author who wrote books about the apocalypse. During this trial, you will hear a story more troubling. The defendant was a seemingly ordinary man. You'll see that he craved significance. He worked in journalism, and he worked as a sexton in a graveyard. He married his wife, Tammy, in 1990 after meeting at Brigham Young University, and they settled in Utah. As a full-time homemaker and mother, Tammy's love for her family was boundless. Together, Tammy and the defendant started a small publishing company, which Tammy supported in many ways. They had five children together. They moved to Idaho, where Tammy became a beloved school librarian. She was devoted to service, her community, and her faith. But for this defendant, that ordinary existence was not enough. Chapter 2. Lori Vallow was a homemaker from Arizona. She was married to her fourth husband, Charles Vallow, and she was the mother to Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow. Tylee was a normal, vibrant teenage girl. She loved her friends. You'll hear that she loved her Jeep. She loved Chipotle. She loved her little brother, JJ. JJ was a seven-year-old boy on the autism spectrum. He required extensive special care needs. He loved his sister. You'll hear about a pivotal date that set in motion the deaths of Tammy, Tylee, and JJ. October 26, 2018. That was a day when Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow met at a religious conference in St. George, Utah, where they were introduced by a mutual acquaintance. At this time, both still married to other spouses. That introduction set in motion the reality you're going to hear about. We know what happened next through the defendant's own words. You'll hear. Though both married, Chad and Lori began to have an affair. You will hear excerpts from the defendant's extended text messages to Lori that reveal his mindset and his motivations. In his thirst for sex, power, and money, Chad created an alternate reality where they called themselves James and Elena, names that Chad claimed were from past lives they had lived together. The defendant's text messages reveal their story of lust and their plan for a future together. Chad Daybell wrote that upon meeting Lori Vallow, he experienced a happiness unmatched by anything else in his 50 years. He was captivated by her appearance, so much so he said she was out of his league. You will hear evidence in his own words, how he was taken by her beauty and spoke about their sexual encounters on many occasions. More than anything else, Chad's obsession with Lori was rooted in her adoration for him. She was the mirror reflecting the grandeur he saw in himself. He called her an exalted goddess. He told her in writing that she had returned to Earth to perform a special mission. Part of that mission included being with him. They soon came together and turned their dreams into a plan for the future, one free from what they called obstacles. And those obstacles were Tylee, JJ, and Kennedy. Chapter 3. You'll hear that in the world that Chad and Lori planned for themselves, they identified those who stood in the way of their dream as dark. Their spouses, Lori's own children, and any who opposed them were labeled sometimes as dark spirits or even zombies. The evidence will show that it was a convenient narrative that dehumanized people who stood in their way and who were labeled as obstacles.
Then we get to the defenses, opening statements. I was really triggered because even as a journalist, if I'm passionate about a case, I can pretty much just like separate myself from the emotions and like work, and then I feel everything after, whether that's healthy or not. It's just what you do to like get through the day. You know, you're reporting on something just absolutely tragic, you put your game face on and you report. So I was actually quite surprised by how upset I was feeling during John Pryor's opening statements. I don't know if that means he did a good job. You know, clearly slut shaming is going to be part of his defense.
And he was there in one of his booths trying to promote his books. He laid them out there. And this beautifully stunning woman named Lori Vallow comes up. And she starts giving him a lot of attention. And she pursued him. And she encouraged him. And you'll hear testimony that she went so far as to grab behind the booth and sort of help him in trying to sell some of his books. She obviously had an interest, and maybe she felt that he was this publisher, or maybe she had an opinion. You'll hear testimony about that. So what we have is we have a situation where someone who's 29 years old, Chad Daybell, 29 years of marriage with Tammy Daybell, no discernible issues in his life. And then Lori Vallow comes into the picture, Miss Texas. You'll hear testimony about this beautiful, vivacious woman, very sexual person, and very manipulative. And she knows how to get what she wants. And she drew Chad Daybell into a relationship, and an unfortunate relationship, you know, that Chad fell into.
I just hope there's not like a single misogynist on the jury, because he really is just pretty much saying it's the woman's fault, which is exactly what we suspected. And can I just say this? He is blaming Lori Vallow for running this whole thing. Lori didn't throw Chad under the bus, but Chad is absolutely throwing Lori under the bus. I mean, opening statements, Chad's like, it's Lori's fault. And I want to point this out.
And during that time, Chad Daybell went on his day-to-day life. He'd been married to Tammy for some 29 years. Has no remarkable background of any kind. I think the testimony we offer will show he had a speeding ticket in 2005. But Lori Vallow was a different story. Lori Vallow was someone who, right out of high school, married her first husband. You'll hear testimony about this. That marriage was very short-lived. Very short-lived.
This is important. As far as Chad Breaking Bad, he says that, you know, Chad has never really ever had any issues except for a speeding ticket. But Lori, on the other hand, she has all these marriages, and her brother, Alex, it's true, tased Joe Ryan and went to jail for that, her ex-husband. True. That's true. But, and I will say that John and I did cover this in a two-part series, The Secrets of Lori Vallow, Part 1 and Part 2. So if you want to see how we show that Chad Daybell did technically kind of break bad, whereas Lori didn't, we do cover that. We cover that. Not taking any any responsibility away from Chad, and I would highly recommend going back to that one. But let me throw this out too. Chad does have a history. He does. And what he has a history with is seducing women by saying that they're married in a past life, by convincing mentally ill women that he's a prophet, and then when he no longer needs them, he throws them under the bus. Let's take model one, Julie Rowe. He did that to Julie Rowe. He told Julie Rowe she was a goddess. He made so much money off of Julie Rowe when he published Julie Rowe's near-death experience books. And I will tell you this, Julie Rowe does have mental illness. That's been confirmed by Julie Rowe herself, so I can say that. She struggles with mental illness. I have talked to other people who have confirmed that she has been hospitalized, and that is the thing. Julie Rowe stood by Chad. When Tammy died, and when the news came out about the children being missing, you know who was the first to jump on a live with Eric Smith and defend Chad Daybell? Julie Rowe. And you know what Chad Daybell was doing at the time? Telling everybody that Julie Rowe is dark, she's not to be listened to, and she's an evil spirit. Same, same. There's a woman in Arizona, I know this, I don't know whether it's going to be evident in court, but there is a woman in Arizona whose husband had to call Chad. There was an alleged emotional affair. Who knows what it really was? And the husband had to tell Chad to back off. Chad was telling Julie Rowe and other women and Melanie Gibb, who was also married to him in a past life, that, you know, he was married to them in past life. So he already had a past life harem going before he met Lori. And we heard from somebody, I can't confirm this or prove it, but we've heard from somebody in the know, absolutely, that he had his eyes set on Melanie Gibb and was into Melanie Gibb until the fateful day he met Lori Vallow. So does Chad have legal woes or multiple marriages? No, he does have a very strong history of convincing women and manipulating women, and then when he no longer needs them, throws them under the bus. Melanie Gibb and Lindsay just pointed out here, my friend over here, Audrey Barataro, who he was calling all the time as well. Let's point this out too. The number one woman he manipulated and just got rid of, his own wife. His own wife, Tammy Daybell. So let's not forget that. Tammy was the breadwinner. She wrote books. She was the publisher. She was a librarian. She worked full time. She put her shoulder to the wheel. And what did he do when he fell in love with Lori and no longer needed her? He didn't divorce her. All of a sudden, she was an evil spirit named Viola. I clearly was so triggered, I needed to vent today. That works. So let me tell you about what you can't see. The courtroom is absolutely packed. Packed. Most people, thank you, Debbie, so much. Most people are sitting on the other side of the courtroom. I'm at an aisle. I can see Chad. There is a direct view to Chad. I'm actually closer to Chad than most people because the other side of the gallery, the right side where most people sit, filled up so fast that I was able to sit right by Vicky and the Woodcocks, and they're clearly going to use Alex as a scapegoat. And then that Chad Daybell's children are going to be testifying that Tammy was feeling sick. That was an interesting little tidbit, that not only are Tammy's children not here, which I assume they've been asked not to be here, and if they're tested, well, no, they could come if they're family, but they've probably been asked by Chad not to come. They will be testifying that their mother was sick, at least four of the five, because one of the children, one child was overseas in South Africa on a Mormon or LDS mission. But they will actually be having Chad Daybell's children testifying for the defense.
You lose weight, it comes back. You lose it again, it comes back again. And if this cycle sounds familiar, you're not alone, and there is a better way. What if you could take a weekly shot to lose weight and keep it off? That's where Ro comes in. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro body program pairs a weekly shot with lifestyle changes so you can lose weight and keep it off. Ro handles it all, even insurance paperwork. If eligible, you have access to a provider on demand. You can sign up online from home, no doctor's visits. Average weight loss, get this, 15 to 20% in a year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria do apply. Go to ro.co/hidden. Sign up today and you will pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's Roe, ro.co/hidden. A quick word from our sponsor. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and I want to tell you about a very special book. It's called MyLifeInABook.com. It's a service that also turns your mom's life stories into a book. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email, and then your mom types her responses or record her voice, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, her strength and perseverance after losing John's mom just a few months ago. Sharing her stories helps us keep her memory alive. And so we've gifted MyLifeInABook.com to family members. My dad is legally blind, and typing can be tedious when you can't see, but my dad can actually record his answers with voice, and MyLifeInABook.com transcribes his audio. It's been an enjoyable thing for my dad to tell his stories, and his book is almost done. I don't think there is any gift that matters more than preserving our stories. Stories change us and teach us about what we value most. This service now puts our stories into the most beautiful, high-quality book. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code HIDDENTRUECRIME at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code HIDDENTRUECRIME for 10% off today.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
We also learned that he has a witness, Greg Hampikian. I know Greg. I've interviewed Greg before. Greg Hampikian helps run the Idaho Innocence Project here in town. And when I was a reporter in Boise, I actually interviewed him for a story that was, it was also a Dateline story. And Pryor also mentioned him as a expert witness. He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy, and he has the credentials. And he's well-spoken. So, I don't love that Pryor nailed, Greg Hampikian for an expert witness testimony. That's rough. Thank you everyone. And to the Hidden Gem again, who got me my lav mic. It should be working as soon as I get, a dongle to switch the lightning port to the I-15 USB-C. So I think I got it out. Anything I missed? Thank you to many, many moderators who are making this live stream happen, because clearly I'm in the courtroom. You guys are amazing. This community is amazing. It's going to be a long trial. It's going to be a very long trial too. That's what else I think we're learning. The objections, the foundational, it's just, there were not too many objections in Lori Ballow's opening statements at all. So justice. All right. We'll see you guys. We're in this together for the long haul. 10 weeks, we can do this. 12 weeks, 6 weeks, it's gonna be long. We're here, we're in it. Justice for JJ, Tylee, and Tammy. We'll see ya, bye. Daybell trial, day two. There's a lot going on. So first off, the day starts off very, very, very heavy. Autopsy photos of JJ and when their bodies were discovered, not autopsy photos of the time where their bodies were discovered. Yes, maybe some autopsy photos of JJ too were shown to the jurors today. So the jurors have computer screens set up. There's like three jurors per computer screen to look at the photos. Vicky and Kay Woodcock are not here. They clearly got word that it was going to be a very, very difficult morning. They did not show the gallery the photos this year. I saw the photos last year at Lori's trial. You can't unsee them. I'll never forget them. I know exactly what they were looking at. The descriptions were just enough to understand when they talked about the duct tape over JJ's mouth. JJ, we will never forget you. And that's why we're all here. Tylee, we'll never forget you. We'll never forget that green bucket. It's just, you can't, I can't imagine what the jurors were seeing. It's day two of this trial. They still don't understand the case, and this is what they're seeing. Larry Woodcock was wearing his sunglasses, and you could hear him breathing heavily. And it was just, it was very, very heavy. I'm grateful that I wasn't able to see those. I didn't need to see those photos again, but what I was able to do, I have a great seat. And what I was able to do was see Chad clearly and all the jurors clearly. And I, because it's live streamed this year, unlike Lori Vallow's trial last year, I was able to just simply be eyes. I paid very close attention to everything going on. And this is what I saw. The jurors were paying attention, so much so that as prosecutor Rob Wood talked, they looked at Rob Wood. And when Rob Wood finished his sentence, they all, every face turned to Detective Ray Hermosillo, who was the witness uncovering the children's bodies. So they would go like this, and all 18 jurors would then turn and look this way, and then this way. They were being so attentive. They were listening to every word. And three, if not four, jurors were crying. Very wiping tears away, very clearly wiping tears away. There might have been a fourth that looked like they were crying as well. A lot of emotions from the jurors. Two women and one man that they were very clearly crying. In addition to tears by the jurors, again, you could also hear Larry Woodcock, and there were people comforting one another. I'm glad I didn't have to see those photos again, but I know what the jurors are seeing, and it is the worst you could imagine. The worst. Chad Daybell showed emotion. Well, I don't know, micro emotion. That's how one person put it. Like, this is what Chad Daybell did during this time. He was slouching. He would shake his head. His, you know, he has this kind of like straight, like mouth. There's my best impression. It got a little bit deeper, a little bit more like that, you know? And then he was going like, he was shaking his head. Take that for what it is. I'm not the psychologist, but I'll ask John when I show him my expression. Chad definitely looked at me several times and I looked at him. Yeah, I was in an easy place to be seen, but I do realize that Chad probably does know who I am, and he has been told by John Pryor, because I think it's important to point out that I and John and I are the ones that interviewed his sister-in-law, Heather Daybell, a three-part interview. That's a very important interview. Heather Daybell has been subpoenaed by John Pryor. Chad Daybell refers to Heather Daybell as his dark sister-in-law that has caused a lot of this. And interestingly enough, just by coincidence, Heather Daybell's daughter is married to Detective Hope's son. And Hope keeps coming up. And I am going to suspect that John Pryor might try to cause a connection between those two things. Thank you, Amanda, for becoming a member. But I don't know. I don't know. But so Chad does definitely look over. We make eye contact. Nothing beyond that. But I do think that Chad likely knows me probably as the podcaster people that interviewed his sister-in-law that is dark. So it would make sense if he's been told that. So after this, so we have a recess after that really, really difficult moment in court. We go back in, we take a breather, and, Detective Ray Hermosillo continues. I do have another live, by the way, that I'm going to be doing at lunch today. After this, I'm going to head over to Fox 10 with Justin Lum, and we're going to talk a little bit. So let me just tell you some things that are really important. And then later today, I will also go live a little bit longer. There are three Lori Vallow Daybell jurors in court today too, watching, jurors from the last trial. I want to say one of the jurors, the youngest juror from Lori's trial is here. She was 20 years old, 20, when she was a juror on Lori's trial. She does not yet want to go public, maybe won't ever want to go public, but she is now here again in solidarity after what she saw and witnessed. And so you can just, again, imagine, only imagine what all of these jurors are seeing, a grown man in tears in the jury box today. Let's talk John Pryor's cross-exam. The Judge Boyce has had to correct John Pryor three times that once an objection is made, he can't continue to be argumentative. He has to wait for the judge to make a ruling on the objection. He is feisty on the when he is cross-examining. But one thing that I'm really noticing is Chad Daybell is a sloucher. Chad absolutely slouches. I've seen him every direction. He slouches. So do I. I'm not even making fun of Chad Daybell by saying that. It is what it is. The guy slouches big time, bigly. I have never seen Chad Daybell stand up so tall as when John Pryor was cross-examining Detective Ray Hermosillo. He was standing significantly taller during that moment. John Pryor's cross-exam, I just have one thing to say. I have more than one thing to say, but this is the thing I'm going to say right now. First off, Tammy Daybell's little response to the paintball gun incident was neither a text nor an email. It was a Facebook post that she posted about somebody coming to her with a paintball gun, pointed it at her and trying to shoot her with it. This is what I've always said about her 911 call. First off, she called 911. I was very upset how things just ended just now with John Pryor saying to Detective Ray Hermosillo, so really this 911 call incident, she called about a paintball gun incident, right? And thank you, Time Lady. And Ray Hermosillo calmly said, yes, that's right. I disagree with that, actually. She did not call about a paintball gun incident. You don't call 911 about a paintball gun incident. You call 911 when there's a shooting, when you're afraid someone's trying to shoot you. Tammy Daybell isn't known to just call the 911 operator when she sees something outside and is concerned about it. I've never heard of her calling 911 before about like random things in the neighborhood, like some guy with a paintball gun. No, she called 911 because of a shooting, and then she referred to it as a paintball gun in the 911 call. We've heard the 911 call. I can even bring the 911 call up later today on our YouTube channel. But this is, I have brought this moment up as actually how I see Chad Daybell being so manipulative. How Chad Daybell probably treated Tammy Daybell, their entire marriage. Tammy Daybell was scared. She was outside, as she explains it in the Facebook text, the not text that she gave that they mistakenly identified as a text and then an email. It's a Facebook post. Sorry, let me put my purse down. Tammy Daybell was scared. Tammy Daybell was shot at that night while she was coming home from a Relief Society women's event at her church, carrying two meals that she had made for her husband and family that she was going to feed them the next day. She was making meals after her job as a librarian, running a publishing company, doing Zumba. She was out very, very late making meals for the week. She comes back with the meals. She's walking into her house, and a man with a mask comes up and starts shooting a gun at her. She is so scared that she screams for Chad, her husband, and runs in and calls 911. That's how scared she was. Her son-in-law also calls 911 that night. And then you don't call 911 if you're not scared. And then while on the 911 call, all of a sudden she shifts it to, you know what? It kind of looked like a paintball gun. It was a guy with a paintball gun. Where do you think she got that idea? Do you think Tammy Daybell knows a lot about paintball guns? Do you think she's out there running around with paintball guns? No. Where do you think she got the idea of it being a paintball gun? I'm sure it was her husband that she screamed for help, Chad Daybell. He was in the background while she called 911. He wasn't calling 911 for his wife. She was calling 911. I guarantee you that Chad Daybell said, you know what, Tammy, calm down. I'm sure it was just a paintball gun, some neighbor kid with a paintball gun. He gaslit her. That's what that was. Chad, I'm really scared. Help me, help me. There's a guy with a gun. There's a guy with a gun. I need to call 911. She runs inside. She called 911. Chad is like, I'm sure it was a paintball gun. Do I know this happened? No. But let's be honest. You don't call 911 if you think someone has a paintball gun. And I honestly think that this is a great example of how Chad Daybell controlled this marriage and controlled Tammy and made her doubt herself. Made her doubt herself all the time. That is what manipulative and emotional abuse is when you see something and you feel something and you know something, and then all of a sudden you're doubting yourself. Oh, it wasn't a paintball gun, or it wasn't a gun. Oh, okay, maybe it was a paintball gun. Maybe I'm over the top, because who would be trying to shoot me? You're right, okay, it's a paintball gun, and you doubt yourself. So in my opinion, this is a lesson on emotional abuse and manipulative abuse, and I just want everyone that needs to hear that to remember that. Don't doubt yourself, don't doubt what you saw, you know what you see. Tammy Daybell was so scared that night she called 911, and yeah, she said maybe it was a paintball gun, maybe it was a paintball gun, but she knew exactly what it was, and that is why she called 911. It's going to be an interesting rest of the day with John Pryor on cross-exam. He is feisty. Chad Daybell is proud, sitting up tall, having this man defend him. And as far as the emotions from Chad, so Chad has a computer too at his desk. It's not just the jurors that have computer screens. So does Chad. Chad's seen the evidence too. If this little like shaking his head thing was his attempt at showing being upset and showing emotion, that's what we got from him. That's it. Lori Vallow was upset that day that they showed these photos. Lori Vallow asked to be removed from the courtroom. The jurors were disgusted by that because they're like, if we have to look at your kids, so do you, Lori. You're not getting out of this. But Lori was upset. Chad Daybell, not so much. Not so much. I also think through this cross-exam that John Pryor is setting up the defense that not only was Chad Daybell framed by Lori Vallow and Alex Cox. I think what we're seeing glimpses of is Chad Daybell was now framed by the Rexburg Police Department and by prosecutors and by perhaps the state of Idaho. That's where I think we're going. Okay, guys, I'm going to head back out. Thank you to those who watch our live stream on Hidden True Crime and are there. It's such a good group. Head back over there after this. If there's a mod here that has a link to that live stream, put it in. But we are going to be live streaming this every day of the trial. We're making special emojis to remember the victims, and we've just got an amazing group. Let's keep this focused on justice. And that is why I am here bearing witness every day in this courtroom, because may justice be served. I'm going to head over and go live with Justin Lum now. Justin Lum was the first reporter on this entire case, I want you to know, in Arizona. He is the reporter that did not let Charles Vallow's death just disappear. He knew it was suspicious. He knew something was wrong. So I'm gonna head over there, and then I'll be back in chat on our live stream for the rest of the day. We'll never forget you, JJ, Tylee, and Tammy. I'm wearing her duck. We'll see ya.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.